Coming up.
The new hot keyword is microdosing. You hear about microdosing shrooms. What is microdosing and what is macrodosing? Like, what is the difference between all those things?
As far as microdosing goes, it is a lot like caffeine. To me, I call it like caffeine for the soul, as it's not addictive, not chemically addictive, and it's really not even habit forming. Cannabis can kind of be, you can use that as a crutch. For microdosing is like 1/10 of a dose. They suggest like 0.1, and it's sub-perceptual, sub-hallucinogenic, sub-psychedelic, basically. You don't feel like you're in psychedelics on a microdose. And the macrodose is that larger. Johns Hopkins has an estimate of where they do, but it might be 2.5 or 3 grams. So it's like 10 times maybe. Mushrooms, it's this just very loving earth energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they, people talk about them like they have their own consciousness, which every mm-hmm. cell and everything has consciousness. You're connected to the earth and you feel mm-hmm. really connected to other people and experience their souls and their hearts. And I saw what a gift they each were,
mm-hmm.
my kids and my husband to me. And it was so deep and so soul level that it changed mm-hmm. my life, like mm-hmm. a near-death experience. And I was in a place where I was like, I'm done. I've been parenting 20 something years and I'm still changing diapers. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm exhausted. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
I was midlife crisis. I'm just sick of this mm-hmm. kind of thing. And it totally changed that to where I'm just like, oh, exactly where I am right now is where I want to be. And I want to live it and I want to experience it. And I want to mm-hmm. find joy in it. And I didn't even need to try. It was just who I was.
We want to invite you to the first annual Munch Bunch Wellness and Rejuvenation Retreat in the Dominican Republic, November 9th through the 12th, 2023. It will be an all-inclusive retreat meant to refuel you, give you a chance to rest, relax, and network with others in our Munch Bunch family. We will also be talking about ways to get out of your own way so you can live your dreams, build your business, and do what you need to do. So check it out. The link is in the description, and the dates are November 9th through the 12th.
Hello, and welcome to the Munch Bunch podcast. I'm your co-host, Megan Van Noy, with my podcast bestie and, bestie real life, Kimmy Nishimoto. And we are super excited today, you guys. As you have been listening and as you've listened to the podcast kind of evolve, we have really moved away from just stuff in the mouth to talking about more holistic health, root cause stuff, which is all about myofunctional therapy. But in general, more root cause, taking care of ourselves, our hearts, our bodies. And so today I'm really excited to introduce Harmony Williams to our podcast. She also has her own podcast, The Life-Changing Trips with Harmony Williams. She's going to talk to us more in depth about microdosing, macrodosing. We're going to talk about kind of the human spirit and mental health and depression. It's going to be a really, really fun episode. So Harmony, introduce yourself. Tell us a little more about you, and then you get to pick today's affirmator.
Ooh, that's so fun. Okay. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I just love sharing my story and however I can help people, especially when they're just feeling stuck or depressed or having mental health issues or midlife crisis or whatever that is, because I've been through many of those things. And I know, like, I just want to give people hope that it's possible to get through them. And there's lots of different modalities and ways to do it. And it's worth finding your way and figuring it out and researching those so that you can be on the other side into a world that in that state, I couldn't have possibly imagined, of joy and just passion and living authentically and doing what I love. And so what I like to do to help people, or what I do to help people with my podcast, just getting the information out, free information that people can have, inspiration, wisdom, guidance, different modalities that we use. A lot of those on there are, it's not just microdosing, macrodosing. It's not just psychedelic therapy, but there's breath work, meditation, hypnotherapy, lots of different things. And we do retreats and I do coaching and kind of mix all of this, like a little cognitive therapy. And I've been a health coach and have experience there doing teen coaching. And anyway, all of that experience, women's groups coaching with kind of this breath work and meditation. And the breath work is the way I've found to help people just connect in with that, drop the ego and all that spinning mind and with who they truly are. And without doing plant medicine, right? It's, and so that's what I use in my coaching practice is a breath work, a meditation, kind of solidifying that and going through into your subconscious. Sometimes we work through it cognitively and we know, okay, I should be feeling happy. I should be grateful for my life. Why am I still depressed? Or why can't I move through this resentment or whatever? So getting in into like the heart of it. So I'm just excited to be here. That's a little bit about me. And I'm excited to see what questions you guys have. So
yes, yes. Okay. All right. So before we dive in,
Kimmy, oh yes.
Kimmy, do you have the cards?
All right.
Perfect. So Kimmy's going to shuffle them up. And as soon as you feel called to say stop, we will pull our card for the day.
Oh, if this is like the Olive Garden Parmesan on the thing, I never tell them to stop until their arm gets tired. So no. Okay. Stop.
Okay. Actually, funny story. One time I did forget to tell them to stop because I was talking and there was like a whole mountain of cheese and it made it inedible. He was like, I'm going to have to go buy more cheese. I'm like, oh, whoops. Sorry.
Usually they ask me like, would you like me to stop now? And I'm like, okay, I guess that's my cue. Yes.
I guess we have reached our limit.
Okay. So we have Wonder.
Ooh, that's good. Ooh, for this one.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
He's wearing 3D glasses. So, you know, pretty fitting talking about psychedelics. Wonder. It's a wonderful thing to be in a state of wonder. And when I'm a good audience to my life becomes better and better theater. When something delightful happens, I can shout encore and be tickled when it happens again. When something maddening happens, I can laugh it off. Either way, I'm glad I got a ticket to the show.
Oh my gosh. I love this. I want a copy of this recording. That is so fun. So perfect. That wonder, it describes my experience. One of the words I use to describe it, that joy, that childlike wonder. Mm-hmm. Back into your life. And it's incredible. It's so mm-hmm. incredible.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about psychedelics. And it's exciting that we can finally talk about this now that they're becoming more decriminalized, because it's like the new hot keyword is microdosing. You know, you hear about microdosing shrooms or microdosing different other psychedelics. So can you tell us a little bit about like, what is a psychedelic? What's the difference between that and meth?
And that's what I thought all of it was. Yes. Okay. Yeah, and then you had a second part to the question.
And then part two is like, what is microdosing and what is macrodosing? Like, what is the difference between all those things? So,
okay. Yeah. So that is, I was raised for 40 years. I was in the Mormon church and it,
Me
I
too.
Thought I just, no way. I didn't know that. Church. And I think from that religious background and the culture I'm around, you know, I was around growing up. Now I'm, you wouldn't even believe it's like 80% Mormon here where I live, but I'm like, does everybody microdose? Does everybody do like, I just, cause you kind of surround yourself and are attracted to those people. Uh-huh. But so I did, that's funny you say that because I thought it was all lumped in and the government kind of did this to us when they lumped it all together. Cannabis is in the same category as meth and heroin. And so I thought cannabis, psychedelics, all of those things were the same as meth and, you know, alcohol and coffee was right up there with it. Right. No. But
so true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here so, I am, the sinner drinking my coffee.
She's got a little cup. Mm-hmm. Perfect timing. Mm-hmm. So the psychedelics and caffeine is actually in that that category of that state changing entheogenic drug, and they are not addictive. And what, like, so to get into that, I kind of have to tell a quick version. My daughter, she had been sexually abused and she was depressed and she was suicidal. And that's what led me to actually open up my awareness to allow myself to even research these things. Otherwise, it was just like, no, that's bad. That's scary. And so as I researched, I was like, what is the worst possible outcome here? Like, what it, like, I want to know all the, not just the good parts about it, all the bad parts of this, and what are the long-term risks and side effects and those type of things. And they're doing lots more studies. So we have a lot, but we'll be getting more of the long-term studies here. So there are some risks, but as far as what I thought they were, they weren't what I thought they were. There's some risks with heart. If you have heart problems, that you would really want to look into. Michael Pollan, who wrote How to Change Your Mind and How to Change Your Mind on Netflix show.
I love that series.
So good, huh?
Amazing.
It is. And it's so well put together, and they have scientific and they have stories. Like, I would totally, I hope I can just watch that. I would watch that with my mom if she wants to, right? It's not like some hippie, you know, weird thing. It's very, very well put together. But so I read that book and started into the research, and there are a few contraindications. If you're on SSRIs, if you have heart problems, you need to look into, and you need to make sure that you're okay with the risks, or your doctor approves, you know, this or whatever. You need to be informed about it. But as far as it's not addictive, not chemically addictive, and it's really not even habit forming, like cannabis can kind of be, you can use that as a crutch. And psilocybin, LSD, those two in particular, MDMA can be chemically addictive. And that's what they use for PTSD. I get into so much, I just start going everywhere. I want to tell everybody everything, but they use MDMA for PTSD, and MDMA is like the pure form of ecstasy because it has such a low, they just don't have bad trips on it. Basically, they're able to go in and access those hard things that they have gone through without it just wrecking their life and going into it and reliving it. Mm-hmm. They're able to kind of access different parts of the brain and drop those judgments and talk about them in therapy, which is incredible that they're able to have that help. Mm-hmm. And so as far as the differences there, psychedelics have been used and in the studies to actually get off certain drugs and get off alcohol and stop smoking. So they're really kind of this counterintuitive kind of thing of what you think. Mm-hmm. They are very, when you talk about mushrooms, it's this just very loving earth energy. Mm-hmm. And people talk about them like they have their own consciousness, which every mm-hmm. cell in everything has consciousness, right? Every plant, every cell in our body, they all have some type of consciousness. Mm-hmm. So it is, but they also have this ability to give you what you need. So as mm-hmm. far as like addiction or dependency on them, it's such a mixed bag of what comes up. And it, mm-hmm. and the people that I know that are using it for intentional purposes, they're not just using it to go out and party. Mm-hmm. They're using it intentionally. And there's this possibility that it, you know, you're going to have this fun, wonderful, joyous time and see the beauty and the reality of the universe, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also a possibility that it shows you and it brings up the stuff you've been shoving down. And mm-hmm. and so people say it's like a
bad trip.
Yeah, it's a bad trip. And then if you have the right therapy and integration and you're not at risk, another risk would be the mental health. So if you're at risk mm-hmm. for schizophrenia or bipolar, I've heard both, it's sent them into a bipolar episode, and some people it's helped them. So there's just really a lot of it's not like the same thing. You get what you get every single time, right? You have caffeine, you know how it makes you feel, right? You get the exact same thing every time you take it. This one, you don't know what you're going to get. So it's really hard to be addicted to something when you don't know what's going to happen, right? But the thing I'll come back to was that people say it's like 5 years of therapy in 5 hours or months of therapy in 5 hours. Cause sometimes you're just going through it. You're processing trauma. You're in the middle of it and feeling those feelings. And in the studies, I'm trying to think I was just looking at one before when I should have been, like eating or something, I was looking at a study instead. And the way they said it was, it's a mood amplifier. So it can like intensify things that you're feeling. And I think cannabis can do this too. A lot of people, it helps them like reduce anxiety, but to some people it brings up more anxiety, right? And so it's not this, it can kind of intensify something that you're feeling. Even on a microdose, that's still, it says about 1/5 of people will get that anxiety, some negative, maybe more worry in your head. It's the psychological effects and some physical like negative, like, oh, this is kind of bugging my stomach. And most people, if you make it into a tea or you have ginger with it, then it helps that if it's bothering you physiologically. But that is kind of a big rant about the first part of your question, that there's tons of research out there. So people can, once you get interested in, then you just go and you start looking at what part of it you're interested in as far as as far as what differentiates it from meth and heroin and whatever. So it's so interesting because it's not at all what I thought it is. It was. And there's a judgment out there that I had to kind of work through, like, okay, I'm going to put this out there and people are going to judge me and think I'm some drug addict or whatever. And honestly, it's something where I had that little peek into it and man, I have so many places to go, but that little peek into it. And it's not something you need or want to do every day or every month or every year, you know, but there can be people that go chasing that feeling or can use it wrong, right? But if you do it intentionally, then I think it's doesn't lend itself well to addiction.
Going back to what you were saying about, you know, it being like a condensed form of therapy, I remember when I tried my macro dosing the psilocybin, the first time was beautiful. It was like hiking. It was amazing. Everything was so colorful, just like the happiest day, like tapped into the inner childlike wonder. It's great. The next time I did it, I was just like, that would be so fun to do it here. Not the best setting, not the best intention. And I had a quote bad trip where I couldn't stop crying and I felt so guilty about every terrible thing I had ever possibly done in my life, or like I had all this like self-hatred. And you know, they say that mushrooms are a teacher, and they have a consciousness because they are alive. So one of the things that they quote taught me that day was like, I needed to work on learning how to have self-love because I was being so hateful and so cruel to myself in that day. And my husband actually helped me through that. And he was like, I think part of why you are so sad right now is that you need to learn how to love yourself and to have like self-acceptance. So it is like really helpful to have someone who can kind of guide you when you're having a quote bad trip, because there's something that you need to learn and there's something that your soul needs to learn in that day. And so that's kind of like led us down this journey of like, we're doing the Munch Bunch retreat in November. And a lot of it is like how to listen to your soul, how to connect to your purpose, and how to actually have self-love, because that was such an important thing for me. Unfortunately, guys, we're not doing mushrooms at the retreat. Maybe another year.
We don't, at our retreats here that are local, we don't do that either, but I am planning to offer to take a group to like Costa Rica or Peru. We're going to plan one of those next year. But the ones we do here are very similar. Yeah. Like that's what my whole journey has been on, all the work I did before those, that was this shadow work and this, and like, that's what came up. That was your shadow. And you, we push it down and try and pretend, but it is there still unless we work through it. Mm-hmm. So it was working through all that stuff and cultivating this self-love. And the thing on the self-love, it's interesting. So I did lots of things. I did yoga and I did, and that's what the podcast is like, what are the ways we can keep this up? It doesn't have to be microdosing, but what other ways can we keep this self-love? Can I keep this sense of authenticity and freedom? And so I had been working on this, and I think self-love is something that you can cultivate. Like if you're going to have a relationship with a partner, you get to work on that. Like if you just kind of leave it or like, I don't feel it so much, like I'm not feeling it, I don't know, something's different, and you just kind of abandon it, then you're not going to have that relationship with that partner. It's something you need to be consistently working on. And it's the same with your self-love. I just thought it was like this magical thing, but then I was following, I have a life coach and a therapist and, you know, different programs and things that I'm listening to. And I was just working on it, working on listening to my intuition, taking that time for myself, and so that I could give to others and be there for others too. Mm-hmm. And I realized a couple years into this journey of discovering what made my heart sing and that wonder and the joy in my world, and actually allowing myself to do that and to be in that space and allowing life to be easy and fun and joyful. Yeah. Even like with my kids, like I was like, oh, I just don't want to take them here. This isn't fun for me. Or they want to do a date and they want to go to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. And this isn't a fun date for me. Right. And then I was just like, well, what if we could do something we both like? And we'd go out in nature and we'd play in the mud. And after my psychedelic journey, it was like, I just was cracked wide open and I was rolling in the mud and painting in the mud all over and giggling and laughing like with them and just experiencing life. But even before that, just like, I'm going to go and I'm going to do these things that sing to my heart, you know?
LSD or, you know, acid. What about some of the other kind of psychedelic type of interventions, if you will?
Yeah, there's a lot. And I'm not familiar. I mean, I've researched some of them, but I don't know firsthand experience on some of them. LSD is very similar in feeling to mushrooms. It just lasts a lot longer. So she did ask me before, microdosing is like 1/10 of a dose. They suggest like 0.1 to 0.5. And the facilitators I've been talking to, they say like start at 0.1 because there's a certain percentage of the population that is very, very sensitive. And you don't know if you're that percentage, right?
Right.
So it'd be better to just like take a smaller amount and not feel anything and not, you know, and then bump it up. And it's sub-perceptual, sub-hallucinogenic, sub-psychedelic, basically. You don't feel like you're in psychedelics on a microdose. And the macrodose is that larger. Johns Hopkins has an estimate of where they do, but it might be 2.5 or 3 grams. So it's like 10 times maybe, right? As much.
Mm. Well, just really kind of like the difference between like the mushroom psychedelics, LSD, acid, like where's, you know, kind of what's what, like, do we know the research yet, or is any of that out, or is it more about the cyclobins now?
Yeah, there is research out on it. And so from what I know, I'm not an expert on all of these. I'll have them on my podcast though.
Yeah.
But the LSD is very similar. It lasts longer. So mushrooms, and that's what I was talking about with the 0.1 gram, mushrooms last 4 to 6 hours. LSD lasts like 14 hours. And the different studies on microdosing are usually on one or the other, LSD or psilocybin, which is magic mushrooms. And the effects are similar. You can do the research and know like the different nuances that they say, but it's still pretty nuanced as to what they do. And they're pretty similar. And then you get into, there's the different cactus and the 5-MeO-DMT and those types of things, which I have interviews on my podcast too, but I'm definitely not the expert. They have different different, you know, DMT lasts like 10, 20 minutes and you just like go into the universe, you know, and feel like you leave your body. And then one thing I thought was interesting, I interviewed a guy on my podcast, Ryan Bean, and he talks about administering ketamine. So that's legal in pretty much, check your local area, but pretty much everywhere in the United States, ketamine is legal. And he does it for dental work with kids. So he's describing kids on ketamine and how amazing it is and how he works with them with affirmations and breath work and empower them in all areas of their life. But even just going into that dental, like, I'm powerful and I am strong and I can do this. And, you know, combining that in there. So that's really fun, the ketamine. But ketamine is more of a disassociative. So you are kind of like, almost like you're leaving your body, you're experiencing things from a different, totally different realm, which can be very beneficial. One gal who had been abused said it just really helped her disassociate from the self that was abused, this victim self, and see it all from a higher consciousness. And she was able to forgive herself and forgive the people who had done that to her. Not that she hangs out with them all the time, but she was able to release some of that. Mm-hmm. And mushrooms and LSD are a little more like you're in your body and you're feeling it. You still get that sense of higher consciousness, but you're connected to the earth and you feel really connected to other people. And for me, I like visited, it doesn't make sense, they weren't there with me, but like my loved ones, and I experienced their souls and their hearts. And I saw what a gift they each were, my kids and my husband to me. And it was so deep and so soul level that it changed my life, like a near-death experience. And I was in a place where I was like, I'm done. I've been parenting 20 something years and I'm still changing diapers. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I was midlife crisis. I'm just sick of this kind of thing. And it totally changed that to where I'm just like, oh, exactly where I am right now is where I want to be. And I want to live it and I want to experience it. And I want to find joy in it. And I didn't even need to try. It was just who I was. I just was able to become that. And I don't know that without all the prior life coaching and things I'd been doing to release, that it would have been the same. But for me, it was just so huge. And like a year after, I was just still in that space of being able to be that love and be that joy and wonder and hold that energy, no matter how crazy I looked to other people. I didn't care. I was happy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, okay. So, you know, obviously, like psychedelics are becoming destigmatized, which is awesome. And they're becoming more legal in certain states. But how do you know if what you're getting is like good or like good high quality product or like not?
Yeah. There's tests you can buy. And I can send you a link to TripSafe and RollSafe. That RollSafe is, they created that to, they'd go to clubs where kids are just doing MDMA, Molly, ecstasy. That's all one. They all are names for the same thing, but they're just using it, dancing at raves, and they're not educated about what happens and what they need to do and how they need to protect themselves and how much water they need to drink. And so they go and they educate these kids, they give them tests so that they can test their products, because that notoriously, that's what, like, kind of the difference between ecstasy and MDMA is MDMA is more the pure thing. And ecstasy is like, you got it on the street and it could be laced with anything. Right. And they're putting all kinds of things in it. And this is actually a really huge thing about like, knowing personally the person who grew those mushrooms and, you know, and the person, like, you, so you can get the tests and make sure it's pure for whatever that is. You can go online and order it and they're not super expensive. And definitely use caution. So I have a story of someone and they've agreed to come on the podcast, but they haven't yet. So I'm not going to include any names, but they went to a facilitator. And this is in the northern Utah area. And this lady was giving him something. She didn't really even disclose everything that was in the something. She just kind of said like, oh, heart opening psychedelics or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And they had some really good experiences with her and it was really helping. And then apparently this lady was embezzling money, breaking up marriages, doing whatever. And the person that was giving her medicine cut her off, was like, I don't want to be associated with you. And so she made up her own medicine. And this person that I talked to went in for their third thing, and they're still not knowing exactly what's in it, gave them this dose and had really terrible mental side effects, and ends up basically having to check herself into a mental hospital. Mm. Her friend goes, gets the sum from, like, kind of deceives the lady and says he's taking it and then doesn't take it and takes it home, gets it tested. And in it, I don't remember everything she said, but there was Adderall, there was meth. I mean, it was not good. It was not good at all. So using extreme caution and making sure you test it and you trust the person you're getting it from. And I mean, really, in this day and age, with our Religious Reformation Act, the thing that Terence McKenna says, and I'm not going to tell anyone to do anything, like, please do this safe and legally. The Religious Reformation Act doesn't actually make it legal. It's more like it's defensible in court if you can prove you're using it for religious purposes. Mm-hmm. And anyway, but growing your own mushrooms, like, that's what a lot of people are doing around here, is just growing their own. They know they're safe because they grew them, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to give any advice. I'm not a health professional. I'm not a mental health professional. Please use caution. Please make sure you're doing your due diligence and doing things safe and legally. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. We're big on the safe and legally around here. So I just want to make sure we really, like, clarify that. Yep. 100%. 100%. Oh man. And, like, there's different levels, right, too, of, like, intensity of, like, even beyond, like, the dosages, right? There's kind of, like, different levels of intensity of kind of how deep it, like, it can go, right?
What do you mean?
So, like, different strains, like, of, like, more effectiveness or, like, more stronger of a trip than other strains, or stronger. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
And same with the different, like, I think San Pedro is just very a soft, you know, softer kind of medicine, and peyote has its own things. And, but even just with mushrooms, yes, you can have some that are, like, twice as strong. So you might be taking 0.1 or whatever, you know, the dosage that Johns Hopkins says online that they use. And if you get a strain that you don't understand how strong it is, and it's a stronger one, then you could be in for a totally different experience. Yeah, definitely. And I do think taking too much for you is a recipe for a bad trip. And in the literature that even Johns Hopkins put out, the higher the dosage got and the closer to the one that they landed on, they found more profound life-changing experiences or mm-hmm. mystical experiences. But also, the higher the dosage, the more negative effects that you'll have.
Mm-hmm. Like something that could be, like, scary, or you have to face something in your subconscious that you maybe weren't expecting to have to face that day. You just wanted to look at pretty trees.
Right. And imagine if you did that, like, you go to therapy and your therapist is like, all right, let's get into it. Let's pull out all your childhood trauma. Let's pull out, you know, you were in war and you had to, you know, kill this child because he had a bomb on him, or, like, all these experiences. And your therapist says, let's bring it all up and let's put it out here. And then he's like, okay. And you're just, like, in the middle of it, experiencing that fear and that terror of whatever those traumas are. And then he just, like, leaves you, and you know, like, you're done mm-hmm. and you're in that state. Like, that could cause some people to go commit suicide. Honestly, like, that's very dangerous to mm-hmm. not have support around you if you're going in delving into these things. So we tend to, and it's funny, on my podcast, there is such that joy and beauty and such possibility with it, but we tend to feel like we need to tell all the risks so that we're not, you know, giving false information or misleading people mm-hmm. about it. As far as microdosing goes, it is a lot like caffeine. To me, I call it like caffeine for the soul. Mm-hmm. So they're actually a similar caffeine. I just pulled this up too. Where is it at? Okay. The long-term effects of caffeine may include chronic insomnia, constant anxiety, depression, and stomach problems. And it can also cause high blood pressure or make high blood pressure worse. So that was caffeine. Mm-hmm. And we all just drink it and don't worry. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that's just what we do in our society, right? Mm-hmm. And it's fine. There's not like this sudden something that we see, but I really think of, and of course they're coming out with more and more studies. So mm-hmm. do your research and we'll watch as these studies come out. But I think of it as very similar to caffeine. It does increase your heart rate if you have heart problems. It's not enough where a microdose is going to do anything, but the long-term effects like this with caffeine, you know, the long-term mm-hmm. effects may be there and we just don't have, we don't have the research out yet on the long-term effects.
Mm-hmm. I've been struggling with chronic fatigue. It's like I could drink coffee, and I'm still so tired and dragging. And so I've done an experiment where I microdose myself, and it feels like with the psilocybin, of course, it feels like coffee without the jitters. And it really helped to like lift some of the brain fog. I don't know why I feel so tired because I'm sleeping enough, but just the brain fog, I don't know. And the fatigue is rough. So that's been really cool because I had heard about that, but I hadn't tried it out because I was like, I don't want to accidentally be tripping while I'm working or something, you know?
Right.
But it's just a tiny little piece. Anyway, another thing I wanted to talk about is, the interesting thing with psilocybin and neuron regeneration, and also like they say that it like cleans some of the brain synapses. There's a really famous guy who's like a big mycologist, Paul Stamets. He's got the show on Netflix, Fantastic Fungi, one of the coolest shows ever.
Love it.
He tells a story about how he had a stutter even into his adult stages, and he took like a crazy amount of mushrooms and had this experience like in a thunderstorm. He like climbed a tree, which sounds really dangerous in a thunderstorm on mushrooms. But after this experience, he stopped stuttering from that day forward. It did something to his brain. It reset something in his brain.
So incredible. Yeah. I love seeing those studies coming out of how it rewires your brain and kind of clears those pathways and opens up different ones. And I have a gal on my podcast that she had Tourette's and she basically, it was so bad from the age of 6, she considered suicide because it was so bad. And in her teenage years, she was just like, she's like, I couldn't get words out. I was just screeching things and it was terrible. Like teenage age is already hard enough. Mm-hmm. And to have that. And she said the first time she did a mushroom trip, it was gone. Like during that small experience. And she did a couple, she used it several times and it's like gone. Her Tourette's is gone. It's so crazy. So that was a fun one. And then just hearing different anecdotal things. It's like, what else could this be used for? They're doing studies on OCD and, you know, eating disorders, all kinds of different things than just the big studies they've already done.
Mm-hmm. So cool. It's like almost like a miracle for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Will you share with us like your best, happiest trip that you've had?
I would love to. I would love to. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because of the possibilities. So what was coming to my mind first was just my microdosing experience, where I had never tried any of it, but I tried a microdose and I forgot that I took it that morning and went about my day, and I was loading dishes and just like, I'm so grateful to be like, I have dishes and I have running water and I have this home, and like life is so incredible and I'm so blessed. I just felt so much gratitude in my heart. And there, my kid was there and my littlest, and he was throwing a tantrum, and I was just like, ah, he's just experiencing life. Like, this is what it is. It's ups and downs and it's hard, but my heart, instead of like, oh my gosh, will he just stop? Mm-hmm. I was just like, had all of this love for him and what he was going through. And just like, yeah, yeah, that's how it feels sometimes. I feel that too. And I was like, why am I in such a good mood? I don't understand. Like, what happened today? I was looking for a reason. Did I go out to lunch with friends? No, I just worked and did laundry and dishes. Like, nothing special happened. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that, because I was thinking I had a really good day. It was just a really good day. And there's a book called A Really Good Day by Ayelet Wadman, and she describes her microdosing experience. And anyway, so that was just kind of like a really small, the small microdosing also helped me to release some resentment. I've been doing some therapy and some cognitive processes on some resentment I had for one of my kids. And it was stupid. It was like about chores. And I'm just like, I don't want to be holding on to this. And logically, I worked through it. And I knew that the reason I was frustrated was because I didn't have my stuff together and I wasn't doing my own chores. And I needed to work on that first before I could expect him to be doing his. And logically, I knew that, but I was still holding this resentment. And that microdose was like, allowed me, it just took it away. I didn't even intentionally mean to, but it just like allowed me to release that resentment and connect with him on that emotional level. And that gift to me to be able to just show me that peak of my intuition and my heart and what I really want, it's a gift and it's incredible. And some people can get there just fine without anything, but it really helps me. So my big experience, let me feel if this is the story, if there's another one. I told a little bit of it, and it was just, I was in that place of burnout, and I was really depressed and exhausted. And I was trying to figure out, is something wrong with my hormones? I haven't fixed anything in my hormones, by the way, or supplements or whatever. And after this, like during this experience, and I was able to see my soul and myself and my brilliance and love myself at that deeper level, like how my higher self or God or consciousness or source, whatever you want to call it, would love me and experience that. Like, it's not cognitive, you like experience it through your soul. And then just seeing the beauty of all the everything of nature, of mm-hmm. other people, it's like you get all of this, you get why we're doing this from this higher consciousness. And I experienced, like I said, my children's souls and felt their essence and what a gift they were to me. And like, it was just like this, oh, you're so cute, human harmony. And after the experience, I kept calling myself human harmony. It was so weird. And I was like, you're so cute, human harmony, you know, like thinking that I was going to sacrifice and I was going to stick out this parenting for my kids. And I was, you know, and in reality, they were this gift to me and life was a gift. And I just wasn't seeing that side of it. I was just seeing all the hard parts of it. And in a moment, everything shifted and I lived life differently. I experienced it. So not just then, it was like a near-death experience and it was so profound and joyful and wonderful. And I was back to that little girl inside of me and the love that I had for everyone. And literally like afterwards, I would have just given anything to anyone who needed it. Like if someone needed my car, I'd just been like, yeah, I think you probably need it more than me. We have three cars. Here, have it. Like, it's not mine. This is all, we're all one, you know, I just had this. And even like my friends like, oh, thank you so much for letting me borrow your mountain bike. And I'm like, it's as much yours as it is mine, you know, like use it whenever you want to. I don't know. It was just this different feeling and way of living, just like hugging random people on the street. I didn't always do that, but sometimes. And sometimes they said they needed it, but I just wanted to give that love and share it with everyone and mm-hmm. riding my bike after like I'd been beamed back and gotten a second chance at life, experiencing like a glow on everything. It's so mm-hmm. hard to describe, right? But just mm-hmm. experiencing that and living from that place of joy and wonder afterwards for months and years. And then now it's like, hey, how do I keep this alive? Maybe without even having to do any psychedelics what can I do to keep this alive and to mm-hmm. help and live my mission and purpose and passion.
So cool. Thank you so much for sharing and for teaching our listeners about it today. It's such a fascinating subject. We'll have to chat more in the future. I have always wanted to try ayahuasca, where you go down to Mexico or Peru
yeah.
and do it with a shaman, but I found out you can't do it if you take SSRIs. So I take Zoloft. So I am trying to get myself off the Zoloft now. I'm about 2 months out. I think that's part of my fatigue problems lately, why I'm so stinking tired. But so far, so good. No panic attacks, which is huge.
Awesome.
Really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even with the microdosing or LSD and mushrooms, they connect to that same receptor in the brain as the SSRIs. So they can be less effective if you're doing that. And there's also a really small risk of serotonin syndrome. So you can look that up. But the thing that Ryan Bean said when he came on my podcast, and he talked about using ketamine, because ketamine doesn't attach to that same receptor in the brain, to supplement, because I've had a lot of people saying that, like, I want to get off my SSRIs and I'll go this long, but then I'm like, no, I can't take it. I can't just go without it until I can start, you know, trying out and seeing if microdosing works for me. And he said that he's helped people with ketamine supplement until they can get off their SSRIs to be able to try something like that. And we should just do a retreat in wherever, do an ayahuasca. I haven't done ayahuasca yet either. That's on my bucket list. So we'll invite anyway. It'll be fun.
They say that's how you like meet your higher self and
it's like, serious. You know, it's
connect
it's
to the like, universe and
Yeah, definitely. Ayahuasca is a fun one to rant on about, because it's not this party thing. It's like, you want to do some work, do ayahuasca. That is some work, but it's obviously helping you create, grow and create and become closer to who you want to be. Mm-hmm. It's good work.
Yeah. If you guys are interested in learning more about ayahuasca, it's the plant medicine from the Amazon. I do have a friend who does it pretty regularly. So if you're interested, drop a comment or DM us on Instagram and we will set it up.
Yeah, that I want to listen to that one, that interview. That'd be so fun.
Okay, so people want to be able to find you. How can they find you on social media? Where can we find?
Okay, awesome. Well, you can connect with me on Instagram or Facebook, Harmony Williams or Harmony Eve Williams. And I have a group on, I'll send you the link, my link tree that has all of them. We can put in the comments too, that they just click on that and they can find my Facebook or my Instagram or Life-Changing Trips free support group on Facebook, or I have a Life-Changing Trips Instagram. There's so many ways, right? Get on my list, whatever that is. I'll send you that link. And yeah, I'd love that. Love for them to find me on there and friend me and ask any, DM me with questions, whatever. This is so fun for me. So
yeah,
I love it. Well, thank you so much. And actually, before we go, it's funny. I was thinking about when we were talking about the coffee thing, caffeine, you know, there's mushroom coffee out there more that's starting to talk more about the brain fog and stuff too. So
not even psychedelic
mushroom coffee, just regular mushroom coffee.
The new tropics that are in there and the studies they're doing on these other mushrooms, I nerd out about those too. Mm-hmm. That's so fun.
Yeah, it's got like the turkey tail, lion's mane, reishi, sometimes cordyceps.
I don't know.
Starts with a C.
Oh, man. Oh, okay. Well, of course, if you guys want to find us on social media, you can find us at the Munch Bunch Podcast. You can find Kimmy at Mouth Muscle Memory, and you can find me at NWMFT. And of course, as you know, you can find us at the Munch Bunch Retreat in the Dominican Republic, November 9th through the 12th. We still have a couple more spots left. So if you are interested in joining us, shoot us a DM and we will get the process started. So thank you again, Harmony. It was so great to have you. this has been a really fun episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so fun. Thank you for having me and for just the work you're doing in the world. Your podcast is awesome, and this retreat and what you're doing to help people, it's incredible. I'm so glad you're living your gifts.
Thank you. All right, guys, we will catch you on the next Munchy Monday. Bye. See you.
We have a special offer for our Munch Bunch listeners. To book a virtual consult with Megan, she's offering a discount of $25 off. Just email her, megan@nwmyofunctionaltherapy.com, or through her website, www.orofacial-myology.com. To book a virtual consult with Kimmy for the $25 off, email her, mouthmusclememory@outlook.com, or through the website, www.mouthmusclememory.com.